I encourage you to find your outline in your bulletin and turn to Acts chapter 1 as we share today. What a wonderful time of worship already just to think about Jesus. I like the last part of that song, says He's coming for me. He's coming for me. Me too, but He's coming for me. And what I want to share today is a little bit of just about the expectation. I'm not going to be looking at all the details about when and where and who and what and all those things. I just want to focus on the fact that we have confidence in His return and the joy of that. What I've been thinking about over the period of time is we celebrate Jesus' birth and His coming. We celebrate His life, and then we celebrated His death prior to Easter Sunday. And then Easter Sunday, we celebrate His resurrection. And last week, I talked about His ascension, how He's in heaven and ruling and reigning and all of those things that come from that. Today, I want to think about His coming again. Because to me, the message of Jesus is wrapped up in His coming to earth as a baby, His living here for a period of time, His dying on the cross, His resurrection, His ascension, and His return. That's, in a sense, to me, that's sort of the gospel in a few words. But I want to think about this confidence in Jesus' return. So if you turn to Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 9, we find the account of Him giving Himself and what happened. Let me read it again. You're familiar with it. And after He had said these things, He was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while He was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking to the sky? This Jesus whom you have who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched Him go into heaven. What a promise. What a promise. As Jesus stood there, I tried to visualize this in my own mind, what it would have been like to have stood there and to watch Jesus ascend into heaven. I think He was the first spaceman. He just took off and went into heaven. But as they watched Him, and then the angels came, and you read the rest of the account of how that they rejoice as they think about what God had done in the end of Luke's gospel. So today, just think about that. Are you looking? Are you expecting Him to return? Could He come now? I don't know where everything's fulfilled exactly, whether it is or not, but I think it's possible for Him to come. So let's think about rejoicing. If you got your notes out, rejoice in the promise of Jesus' return. I'm glad for that. I'm glad to know that the one we worship, who was raised and ascended to heaven, is coming back. It's not over yet. And we have a lot to look forward to as God's people. So let me think about that. So rejoice in the promise of Jesus' return. The first thing what you write in is the angels promised His return. The passage I just read said that they were standing there looking into heaven, and they said, two men in white clothing said, what are you looking up there for? He's coming back someday. I don't know all that was implied, but it may have been Him saying to them, listen, you need to go on about the business of sharing Jesus. He's coming back someday, but you don't need to stand around looking in the sky all the time. You need to get out and share the message. Share the good news of Jesus. But the angel said He's going to come back. And I celebrate the fact that that promise is going to be fulfilled. The Scriptures talk about that. So the second thing is, Jesus promised His return. The angel said He's coming back. Jesus said He was coming back. On your notes, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many dwelling places. Some say mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, you may be also. Wonderful promise. I think that applies two ways. One, I think that means when I die physically and leave this world, I go home to be with Jesus then. But then there's that day coming, which we'll read another scripture about that. It said, Jesus said, if I go, has He gone? Has He ascended? He said, if I go, I'm going to what? I'm going to come back. I'm going to get a place ready for you. And when I get it ready, I'm going to come back and get you. What a day that will be. When you think about all that will happen when Jesus comes, I don't think I understand it all. But I like what I know. I like the things the Bible describes that's going to happen when he comes again and gathers his people to himself. He said, I'll receive you to myself. The greatest joy of heaven is Jesus. The greatest joy of heaven will be seeing Christ himself, our Lord and our Savior. Now, all other things, streets of gold and all the angels and all the other stuff, I'm sure will be wonderful. But I still believe the number one person I want to see is when I get there, I want to see my Lord and Savior who died on that cross, who was buried and resurrected and ascended to heaven. I want to see him. Because of him, I get to be there. And I get to know he's going to come. So Jesus said, I'm going to do that. So Jesus always keeps his promises, right? That's going to happen. The third area that I want to note is Scripture promised Jesus' return for his people. Scripture promised Jesus' return for his people. So the angel said it. Jesus said it. We find it in the Scripture, which again is 100% correct and will always be fulfilled. Scripture promised Jesus' return to come and get his people. This passage you're familiar with. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. What a promise in God's Word. I want you to notice that whenever this happens and however that happens, I'm not worried about the details right now. When it happens, what does it say? He's going to come with what? With a shout. With the trumpet of God. There's going to be the joy of God going to descend when he comes. And then it says that those who are alive and remain are going to be caught up with those already, caught up with those that the dead are raised first, and we get to be with him. I like what it said. We will meet if we're alive, we meet those who are already dead, have been raised. We'll meet the Lord and we shall what? Always, always, always be with the Lord. Folks, that's wonderful when he comes. When all this takes place. I know I get to be resurrected. You get to be resurrected. The body and the spirit joined together. Some still that don't make sense to some of us, but the spirit goes to be with the Lord. The body stays in the grave, as I understand it, till he comes. And then there comes a time when he resurrects the body and he gives us a new body, according to 1 Corinthians 15 and some others. But the Bible says it's going to happen. So I rejoice in the promise of Christ's return. He said, I'm coming back. You can count on it. You can look forward to it. You can anticipate it. So as I think about that, the next thing I want to think about is get ready for Jesus' return. If he's coming, I want to be ready for it. I want to be ready to meet him to know that that day is coming. Now, there are some people who are going to be ready and some people who won't be ready. The Bible clearly says that in some of the passages of Scripture, that a time will come when Jesus separates the sheep and the goats. He said there are going to be some who are not ready for his coming. And you don't want to be there. You want to be ready for his coming. So, let me read the first Scripture passage. It says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that is given me I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. That's the promise of Jesus. He said, if we come to him, he will what? He will welcome us. So how do I get ready for Jesus coming? The first thing I need to do is behold the Son. Believe he is who he says he is. Believe he is the Messiah. Believe he is God. Believe he is a Savior. Believe he is born of a virgin. That he is God the Father sent him down here on earth. To believe in Jesus. To see him. To believe in him. Secondly, to believe in him. For the only way I'm ready for Jesus' return is I have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I need to know he is my Lord and my Savior. Do you know that? Can you say today, I know without a shadow of a doubt, I received Christ Jesus as my Savior and Lord, and I know that I belong to him because of what Christ has done on the cross. I am ready to meet him because my soul has been saved by the blood of Christ, and I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm ready because I've been born again. You need to know that. My prayer is that if you're here today and don't know that for sure, that you'll give your heart and life to Jesus. Because when He comes, He isn't going to ask you about your church membership, about how well you serve, how many Bible verses you read, or anything else. The only thing He's going to ask you is, do you know Me as Savior and Lord? Now, there's a judgment for our works. I understand all that. But the number one issue is, when He comes, I want to know that I've already met Him. You see, if I meet Jesus beforehand, I'm ready to meet Him when He comes. If I've never met Jesus beforehand, I'm not ready when He comes. Make sense? So I look forward to that. I want to be ready. Because Jesus said, if those that the Father gives Him, and to me that's those who believe in Him, He said, I'm going to do what? I will raise Him up on the last day. I will. What a promise. What a promise. That no matter what's happened to us, if we're children of God, that He's going to raise us up. And this physical body is going to get a new body. I'm glad I don't keep this one forever. I'm glad that He's promised me a new resurrection body. With the old putting on the new, the incorruptible putting on incorruption, all those things that are described that He said, I need to be ready for His coming. On the other side of your notes, Jesus had said this to Thomas in that same John 14 chapter. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where You're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I left that out for you, not in your notes. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but through Me. Jesus said to Thomas, I'm the way. I'm the only way. The only way. You're going to hear today a lot of people say, and a lot of groups say, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as we all believe something, we're all going to get there by different routes. The only thing wrong with that is it ain't so. Jesus said, don't argue with me, don't argue with us, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to heaven except through Me. I have to receive Him as my Savior and Lord and commit my life to Him and allow Him to come to live within me. I'm grateful that salvation is not a system. Salvation is a person. Salvation is a person of Jesus Christ. We receive Him as Savior and He comes to live within us. I mentioned this before, but I'm grateful when it talks about salvation, God doesn't say, here, I'm going to give you salvation out here. What He says is, I am the Savior and I'm going to save you, but I'm going to save you because when you receive Me, I, God the Father, through Jesus Christ, comes to live inside you, and the Savior comes to live inside us, and salvation is a person of Jesus Christ who's come to live in our hearts and lives, and we know we belong to Him. That's what gets us ready for when He comes again, because I've already met Him once. I've already bowed the knee once. As the Scripture says, every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess He's Savior and Lord to the glory of God the Father. Well, if I've already bowed the knee, I'm ready to do it when He comes again. But if you never bowed the knee, folks, you're going to bow, but you wish you'd done it beforehand. Because when He comes, this time it's too late. So, I want to get ready. Get ready. The second thing, or the next area on the notes is, I want to stay ready for Jesus' return. Sometimes people say, well, I got my fire insurance. I'm not going to hell anymore, so I can relax. What do you want to be doing when Jesus comes? What do you want to be happening in your life when Jesus comes? You ever thought about that? Do you ever think about that every day? Is this what I would want to be doing if Jesus came today? We don't know when He's coming, but I want to stay ready. Not only do I want to be born again and to know that I belong to Him in a sense, but I'm staying ready. The Scripture's passage I've listed on your notes is, heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, for the Son, nor the Son, but the Father alone. We don't know. I'm glad we don't know. Now, you realize that people over the ages have tried to tell you when He's coming, and so far He hasn't done it yet. Because if He had, we wouldn't be here. If you're a child of God. Well, you wouldn't be either way if He'd come. So He hadn't come yet. So He says, you don't know when He's going to happen, when that's going to come. I thought about this. Because you don't know when he's coming, you want to be ready. You know, if somebody comes to visit you and they say, I'm going to be here on Thursday at 4 o'clock, you know when to get ready. But if you have some friends coming through town and says, we'll be there sometime this week. And most of the time when company comes, you kind of want to keep things a little nicer. So you got to keep it ready all week long because you don't know what day they're showing up. Well, Jesus is coming. He hadn't told us when, so I want to keep it ready because I don't know what day he's showing up. Now, when I think about that, what do I want to be doing? What activities do I want to be doing? The other scripture passage related to that says, therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming, but be sure of this, that the head of the house, had known the time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert, would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not think he will. Now, when you think about that, are there some things in your life you've been saying, I ought to be doing this? Are there things in your journey as a Christian? You said, I need to be back. I need to start doing this. Maybe some of you need to be decide, you know, I've been thinking about reading the Bible more often. When should I start doing it? You ever told somebody something? Well, when I get around to it, I'm going to whatever. What usually happens, you don't ever get around to it. I know some people have a little around to it, but it don't work either. So when I think about this, if I feel like I need to be a time in the Word, I need to do it now. I need to start today before this day is over in my private time when I go home today or whenever that I get out my Bible and I start reading what I think I ought to be doing. Maybe it's more in my prayer time. When am I going to start doing that? Maybe I need to be sharing Jesus with more people. Maybe I think about my neighbors and they ought to know Jesus. And I think, well, one of these days I'm going to talk to them about Jesus. When's the time to do that? I need to be doing it now if I want to be ready when he comes. Because I'd hate to look Jesus in the face and say, I should have been talking to my brother or sister over here or this neighbor, and they're not going to heaven because I didn't talk to them. Lord, I don't want to be there. Help me today to get ready, to stay ready by doing those things I know you want me to do. I want to be involved with that. We rejoice that we're going to heaven when Jesus comes. But do you ever think about the people around you who might not go to heaven when he comes? Do I think about it? It should break our heart. The neighbors we know, people we know. And when Jesus comes back, as far as we know, they're not going to go with him. You think life is bad here and now if you get left. There's no way we can describe what it's going to be like to be lost without Jesus and spend eternity without God in a place called hell. Now, we talk about hell being fire and brimstone, all the other stuff. My conviction is this. Hell is bad because the love of God and the grace of God and the person of God is no longer there. Now, the other things are bad. But I want to be ready. I want to stay ready. Maybe some things you've been thinking, well, maybe I ought to follow the Lord in baptism. I've been putting that off. Or maybe you're saying I ought to join this church. Or maybe you're saying I ought to be involved in some other ministry. Now is the time to do it because I don't know that I'll have time tomorrow. Even if Jesus doesn't come tomorrow. I don't know when he's coming. I'm not trying to predict that. Do you know that you're going to be alive tomorrow? Do you know you're going to get next week to do what you feel like you ought to be doing? We don't know that. Every one of us probably knows somebody that we talked to one day and the next day they were dead. And we are almost shocked at that. That means I need to be doing today what I sense God wants me to be doing. Even if he doesn't come today, at least for my life, I need to be ready. living like Christ, serving like Jesus, ministering to whatever Jesus has called me to minister to, be involved in whatever way He wants now, because now is the only day I got. Is that true? The only moment I've got is right now. I'm grateful for the past. I'm grateful, hoping for a future, but I don't know that. All I know is right now, this day, when I submit my life to Christ and say, Lord, I'm going to follow You today, I want to be ready now for what You're doing. So I want to be living like You now. I want to be living godly now. I want to be living holy now. I want to be serving You now. I want to be involved in some ministry for You now, because this is the day that You've given me to do that. So when He comes, I don't regret stuff I didn't do. I don't know if we will or not, but I don't want to be in this boat. So what I'm suggesting is, I want to stay ready. Stay ready. Charles Swindoll told about a time he worked in a factory. Actually, he worked in a machine shop. He said one of the men who worked with him was George. George's job was to clean up all the shavings and all the stuff around those big lathes that they worked in other machines. George was a Christian. George loved the Lord. He said when George sang, George always thought about heaven and Jesus. He'd sing songs like I'll Fly Away or When We All Get to Heaven or whatever. That was the songs he sang. He said one Friday night, we were getting close to going home time, and a few minutes before quitting, and I looked at George and I said, George, you ready to go home? He said, yeah. He said, I looked at George and he said, he looked like his clothes were dirty. Look, he wasn't ready to go. I said to him, George, you don't look like you're ready to go. You look like you're still ready to go to work. You're dirty. George said, let me show you something. So he unzipped his coveralls. Underneath was the cleanest, neatest clothes that he could see. And he zipped them back up. So when time came to go, he just unzipped the coveralls, stepped out, and punched the time clock and went home. George says this, I stay ready so I don't have to get ready. And I stay ready for Jesus so I don't have to get ready when He comes. May God help us to stay ready with whatever we know we need in our life. The last thing on your notes, eagerly look for Jesus' return. Eagerly look for Jesus' return. Not grudgingly, not with a dread, but look forward to it. The Scripture says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That's a part of living, being ready. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Grace of God's appeared, bringing salvation. Aren't you glad? I've been born again by His grace. Then I'll deny ungodliness and worldly desires. That's a big problem in our world, isn't it? To live righteously and godly, looking for the blessed hope. You thought about that? Are you anticipating? Eager for the day when He comes. Or for the day He takes us home, either way. I don't dread it. I rejoice in it. Not that I'm eager to die physically. You heard me comment before, it's not that I worry about dying, it's a process that bothers me. But you realize that when you pass away from this world, if you know Jesus, you're going to meet Him. That's my understanding of Scripture. And the day's coming. When there's no more pain, there's no more sorrow, there's no more sin. Wouldn't you like to live in a place where there's no more sin and garbage in the world? And that's what's going to happen. All the joys of the Lord, the glories of Christ, He said He'll be the light of heaven, and all the blessings of God will be operational in our life. We'll be completed as a Christian. Your wish is completed yet? You know, I think about this. I wish when I got saved, he just did it all and I was finished. But he doesn't do it that way. But that day, I'll be finished. I'll be everything he envisioned me to be when he died on the cross and when he saved my soul. Everything he thought I was going to be, I'm going to be. Because the Bible says when I see him, I'm going to be like him, just like he is. I look forward to that day. That completion, that wholeness, that forever with the Lord Jesus. So as I think about that, may it help us and encourage us in our walk with Christ to be faithful to him today, looking forward to that blessed hope because he's coming and I want to be ready. I want to be busy about his work. Let's bow together. If you don't know Jesus, folks, if you're not ready, I beg you to give your heart and soul to Jesus today. That's where it starts. Then as a believer in Christ, if you already know him, are there things in your journey you know God's been prompting you to do or things he's been telling you you ought to quit doing either way? Today is a day to say, okay, Lord, let's deal with this now. And let him move us into a relationship with him that's deeper and better because we've been obedient. You sense there's some things you need to do. Or you just like some prayer. Pastor Ryan, I'll be here. We'll be glad to pray with you about whatever issue is on your mind, believing that God, in his grace, will minister to them. Father, thank you for the wonderful gift of Jesus. Thank you for the hope that we have in him in one day. We're going to see him when we die physically, but one day we're going to see him in that final resurrected body. In that glorious time when everything is made right with you and we get to live with you forever. Search our hearts. Search my heart. And Lord, help us to see the things we need to change by your grace. May your will be done. Your spirit have full control in this moment. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.